Watch out for Barry.
Yeah, I know.
It does. It's unbelievable.
Now, 6 o'clock, we'll be calling our work session to order for December the 12th, 2017. First order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. The next item is planning director comments.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple comments as we're just getting into that. We have a few items that are coming back before you. Previously, we've seen the strategic zoning initiative. Mr. Newman has some information for y'all to take a look at that we may ask you to move along to a public hearing on as it relates to the fee change that was being proposed. And Mr. Robinson's bringing back some more information in regards to the small home business slash home occupation talk we had at the end of last summer. And a new item is the discussion of setbacks. Mr. Newman's going to talk about some issues that's been happening with setback regulations.
Thank you. The next item is public comment section. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak about any item, please come forward, state your name. You'll be limited 3 minutes. There's a new site for people to come make comments now. They're going to be sitting in this area right in front of us, and that microphone will stay there. It will no longer be a podium. Seeing no one coming forward, we will move on to the work session, discussion of setbacks.
Good evening. We have two definitions that affect building locations on a parcel. The first one is for yards, and the second one is for setbacks. I know there's a lot of text up here, but what's the important part is yards affect a building. They do not affect a structure. They only affect a building and its distance from the side property lines, the front of the property, and the rear of the property. The word setback affects a building or a structure, but only in relation to the front of the property line.
What's the distinction between a building and a structure?
Here we go.
Oh, okay. I guess I should have figured that.
I anticipated that. See, a building is a structure, the roof, supported by columns or walls for housing or enclosure of persons, animals, or properties, whereas a structure is just something that's been constructed or erected. It doesn't have to be for housing.
So a building doesn't have to have walls. It could be like a pole barn.
A building is a roof supported by columns or walls.
So what if you have an outbuilding that is not permanently attached to the ground and can be moved? Is that considered a building or a structure?
Jason?
It's got a roof, it's a building.
Yeah.
So if you had a shed, one of these sheds you bring in on a trailer?
Right.
That's a building. It's probably going to be an accessory.
But the definition of structure includes dwellings. And is that not habitation?
It includes dwellings, among other things.
Every building is a structure. Not every structure is a building.
Gotcha.
Buildings house or enclose a person, animal, or property. A structure doesn't have to do that.
Structure can be anything. It can be as simple as a fence.
Yeah. Well, you added, you seemed to add something a minute ago about a roof.
Yeah.
So would a roof make it a building? Because that's pretty simple.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. But that says for the housing or enclosure of persons, animals, or property. So I guess enclosure of property, that's what a shed does. I'm just trying to remember, I'm just a dumb forester, so I'm trying to work over this for it.
So a shed would be a building, but not a structure.
No, it is a structure. Every building is a structure, but not every structure is a building.
Okay. Okay.
The issue the department had is when you were removing the site plan for like a solar farm, yeah. And we start looking at the interpretation of setbacks.
Solar arrays, yeah, solar arrays are not buildings. They're structures.
I think we'd all agree that they're not a building.
Yes. However, when we're trying to find the placement of them
setback.
In relation to what we currently have listed as yard requirements, there are no yard requirements for a structure. Yard requirements only apply to buildings. Setbacks, which apply to a building or a structure, are only in relation to a front lot line, not a side lot line. So the issue that we have is, from our reading of it, there's no way that we could enforce, say, a 25 or 50 foot setback for a solar array.
So we could essentially have a structure basically on the property line.
That's the issue that we're having. And we want to try and rectify it. Yeah, but the way that it currently reads.
No, I understand.
Could we potentially work on the definition of structure to include maybe some more examples like fences? Because that's going to be obvious when people have questions about, if we say dwellings, such and such, fences, etc., at least that would make it more clear. The structure include a whole bunch of things, and there's everything, but they're not necessarily buildings. Because the structure definition is a little nebulous, especially with that dwelling being prominent in the end.
Well, the problem isn't with structures. The problem is with...
It's with our definitions for setback.
With the definition of setback.
What we proposed
it's
is
a structure.
To change our definition of setback.
So right now, everything's a structure.
Everything's a structure, but not necessarily a building. And what we proposed is to change our definition of setback to from this, the minimum distance by which any building or structure must be separated from the front lot line, to the minimum distance by which any building or structure must be separated from a street, right-of-way, or lot line.
But
that way...
You need to be careful about the latter, because... You need to distinguish between the various orientations.
Like a front, the rear, and side.
Yeah, the setback is not typically from the lot line. It's from the right of way.
Yes.
So in the case of the current definition, it's from the front lot line, which by definition is going to abut the road.
Yes.
If you take that orientation reference out of here, then you're not going to make it necessary in the lot line because you're not doing it from the side or the rear of the lot line.
Well, to us, it seemed the best way to try and rectify the situation, because a setback already covers a building and a structure, would be to make it the minimum distance from a street right of way or any lot line.
So that adds all the lot lines. So what about...
We'd have to rephrase it.
Well, but that means you can't... If you did that, mm-hmm. then you'd have to have, say 175-foot setback.
Yes.
You'd have a 75-foot setback for every shed, doghouse, and everything else. You don't want to do that.
And what about the several thousand non-conforming uses?
No, we have accessory uses as well. There's the main use, such as a house, which has to be... 50 feet away from the side lot line in A1.
That's because it's defined by the yard.
Well, here's what this is what we have in R1. Right now it says for a main structure like the house, the side minimum side yard for each main structure shall be 25 feet. And what we have listed in section 22.17.13 in regards to accessory uses such as a shed or a doghouse, the minimum side setback for an accessory structure is 15 feet on each side. So our accessory structures have different setbacks from main structures. And one other thing that we'd like to do is reorganize our code so that the three places where we have accessory setbacks, such as A1, R1, and R2, as are currently in section 22.17.13, we would like to try and combine them all so it's all together. So somebody who's trying to build a house and a shed in R1 can just look at this section 22-5-6, and they can see what the setbacks are for the main structure of the house, as well as for something like a shed or a doghouse.
Good.
That way they don't have to flip over.
How would that apply to a fence?
Fences currently don't have...
Don't regulate fences.
Fences are specifically exempt.
Okay.
They are?
Yes.
Because they're a structure.
Yeah, but they're...
But they're specific, they're somewhere specifically exempt.
Certain structures like fences, mailboxes, things like that, they're...
So with these things you've thrown here, I've asked all my questions like 5 seconds too quick, because you instantly answer them. Or, you know, right after I ask them, you flip up another slide, but would this make, so anything that's conforming today would still be conforming?
That's my understanding. We're reorganizing the code so that the accessory structures section is incorporated into each area, as you see here, and we'd like to change our definition of setback so that incorporates all property lot lines, not just the front, because our definition of setback applies to buildings and structures, whereas our definition of yard just applies to buildings.
And you could also have a lot line and not have a right-of-way if say, for instance, your lot was not...
If you're landlocked or not under
front
of a road.
That's why it said or. It did say or.
That's why it said or, right?
It said or, right-of-way or lot line. So if you don't have a right-of-way on your property, it doesn't change anything. You still have the same setback.
Right.
It would create, though, I think, Mr. Bryan, some nonconformities. Because if you're changing the minimum required setbacks for structures, and there happens to be a structure that is within that setback now, that'll be legally nonconforming, correct?
Such as the solar arrays.
Correct.
Yes.
He's saying with the changes they made, if they're nonconforming in the future, they shouldn't be nonconforming now. They're already nonconforming.
No, yes. Right? What you're saying is that if you have structure we haven't been regulating, like a solar array, it doesn't seem to fall within these existing definitions. If somebody can come in and put it in lawfully, and then we amend the ordinance to cover those, they would be non-conforming. So like, it's possible there will be some...
That would still be legal.
Most structures today, sheds, have a regulation in here.
Yes.
15 feet, I guess.
Section 22.17.13 of our ordinance.
So sheds... If they're conforming today, they'll be conforming tomorrow.
Yes, they have
dog houses.
Yes, if they meet the code as it is today, all we're doing is moving the text so it's just easier for us and for citizens to read the pertinent section of setbacks.
There's not been that much of an issue. The solar arrays, the first time it came up.
Yeah.
Right.
That's how we noticed.
Usually parcels are large enough, people place things far enough away that it's not an issue.
And what's the other thing? As you noted, the definition of structure is very broad.
But if we were going to change anything, we would like to maybe possibly reorganize and sort of make it more...
Just easier to find and navigate.
What would a pavilion be? Like the one... Yeah, I mean, it's got a roof, it's got columns, people are in there. That's a building.
Buildings.
So if somebody had a property and they wanted to do outdoor weddings, for example, and set up a pavilion, it would have to meet the setbacks for buildings.
Yes.
I just wanted to... Today. Clarify.
It was the only structure on the property, when you consider the principal structure, having the principal setbacks.
So that's
pretty... Yeah, but I mean, if you already had a house on the property, yeah, and it was
an accessory use.
You would treat it exactly as you treat a carport or a garage, a detached carport, detached garage, farm, shed.
What if I had a vineyard and I had all these poles and I had wires running where the grapevines to grow up on? Where would that fall? And I know that there's some other type rule when it comes to some of that.
They might have agricultural exemptions, but to me that would seem to be a structure. It's anything constructed or erected, the use of which requires a modification.
That's
the
one
I
would use in construction.
Because the ag.
Well,
the
ag exemption.
It is, when you're talking about the support facilities for grapevines, all they are is line of posts with a cable or something.
And it goes back to discretion. Like if I have some bluebird houses directly on my property line, I guess you could squeeze that into the definition of structure. But if Jason enforced that, I would count on you to tell him to stop.
I would not advise Johnny Webster to put that danger
in. I would. I'd call you first. You got to call this guy.
I know that sometimes it sounds like we're asking silly questions, but things like that come up, and somebody asks you the question and you don't know. So
we're looking for a way to make it easier for us and citizens to know what the setbacks are from a road and from a side property.
We talk about every day, so it's good to have the conversation with you all.
Somebody else is going to ask the questions.
And I'm sure you all thought about it. You went through the county and saw something pop up that
you didn't see before. If you're looking at this because you've got a known issue, the solar arrays, which are going to be a controversial point of contention if those solar arrays are right on my property line. You know, that I think you're doing a good thing here and trying to get out in front.
Fortunately, for this one, it borders industrial property where the owner doesn't really care too much. We do have another solar array application in the pipeline. So we want to try to get things taken care of before it gets too far along.
Very interesting. But I understand why you need to do what you're doing is trying to make it more legible, what people understand.
Yeah. And so that we don't have things like a solar array fall through the cracks, and that they make sure that they meet the yard requirements as you're currently stated.
One thing you do, when you're talking about this, the change that Mr. Newman had said, you're going to put these setback yard requirements in each of the districts. You're going to take it out of 22-17-13.
Yep.
You're not condensing it, you're expanding it. And it does make it easier to find. But it is going to be a change, and what it's going to do is the big thing about it is you're going to need to make sure that if you amend any of these numbers in the future, that you remember you got to do it three times instead of one.
Thank you.
Sometimes you ought to read the city of Charlottesville's ordinance and see how lucky you are to have this.
Never have that much trouble getting to sleep, Fred. So thank you.
It's very difficult to navigate.
That's all we have.
Thank you.
It looks like we'll plan on coming back with something more substantial, working with Fred, before we go.
Does anybody else have any more questions?
Only one quickie, which is, have you given any thought to having drawings or visuals with that? I know sometimes it helps when you're talking about setbacks to have.
I can provide and get a copy of the Palmer Solar site development plans that were approved, and we can show you what the issue that we've had is.
What you're talking about is to incorporate into the
ordinance. Yes, I'm talking about as part of an ordinance. I mean, that seems to be. So
you're a planner. He's a planner. I'm a lawyer. I don't like pictures. But, we have pictures in other sections of the ordinance, so it could be done. The only problem with that is that if you do that, you're going to have to make decisions how you depict it so that you cover every possible circumstance. And that can be a problem.
I think that the definition is sufficient myself. Thank you.
All right, strategic zoning. Now, we've discussed this before, just a brief overview. Our current zoning fee is $1,000 plus $50 an acre. And in regards to our land use taxation program, it's subject to rollback taxes plus interest, used to higher annual tax liability, and therefore there's little incentive for owners of properties that are within land use taxation to seek a zoning change because of the cost that they would incur. And furthermore, properties must be zoned commercial in order to be actively marketed by the state of Virginia. If properties are being held on by owners because they don't want to get these costs, that impacts the county's economic development growth. This is how we compare to other regions around the area. Our zoning fee is $1,000 plus $50 an acre. Louisa is $1,000 plus $10 an acre. Buckingham and Cumberland are outliers with a low price of $550, but otherwise we seem to be in line with Albemarle and Louisa. So the changes that we've done is we've removed the $50 per acre fee from a rezoning, and we've made a flat fee of $1,000, and this would affect all rezonings throughout the county, not just ones in, say, Zions Crossroads, CPA, or the urban development area. On a connected issue for our strategic zoning, where properties could have a rezoning done and the land use rollbacks taxes don't apply until the actual use changes. Is this something that the commission would like to see have applied to the entire county with just to our Zion Crossroads community planning area here in Pink or other community planning areas, or within a smaller subset, our urban development area, which is bordered here by Yellow Line?
So do we define when a use changes?
A CO is issued.
So not a site development plan? Or
under that proposal, it would be when the CO is issued.
The CO issues, or if there's no CO involved, then it would be when the action is actually taken. So if you're going to change the use from a dairy farm to a parking lot, or you're not going to build anything, you're just going to
park right. You don't need to
screw as soon as you start putting cars in there parking.
And it's a question of whether or not we would like to apply strategic zoning to certain parts of the county, such as Zion's community planning area, which is large and all here in Pink, or to a smaller area, such as the urban development area, again, bordered here by Yellow. And just for reference, the women's prison is located right here, outside of the urban development area.
My suggestion to you would be that we do some baby steps. We don't know how this is going to work, and it's going to involve some changes in how the commission revenue deals with taxes and things like that. My suggestion would be to put it where it's going to have the maximum impact on the economic development and see how it develops. Because it may not work, we don't know. It may work excessively well.
So you're suggesting we start with the Zion's Cross Urban Development Area.
Which, I suggest the Yellow Line, CBA.
That's what I had thought.
Again, this everything within this area right here is the urban development area.
What's the western edge of that?
This is all, everything west of here is still part of the Zion's community planning area.
No, where is that line? Like, where is...
Zion's Crossroads is right here. That's the women's prison.
I think what he's asking is what's in that area right now?
What's that? There's all those lots. There's like a community just to the west of that. What is that? Do you know? I'm just trying to figure out where it is. Maybe I should pull up the map.
I have to figure out a map. More.
Are you talking about upper, middle?
You're talking about this?
Yeah, all down through there seems to be a lot of lots.
Like yeah, lots of smaller lots of development. The only real subdivision I know of is the one that's over here adjacent to the former automobile junkyard lot.
What's there? Go up to the top of the Yellow Line and then sort of stop, right? Go back a little bit. It looks like a bunch of long lots right there together. What is that? Do you know what that is?
Those might just be parcels that were incorporated within the community planning area when this particular GIS layer was made. And those
so it would not include the it would not include the other parcels on the other side of the Yellow Line.
The Pink Yellow Line is county line.
Yeah, okay.
County
okay.
Boundary.
So that
this
that,
is the county boundary.
Okay. Okay.
The urban development area just goes like this.
So it looks like that road running through all those lots might be Oliver Creek Road.
Probably. Well, I suggest going with the Zion's Crossroads Urban Development Area first and work our way up and see how it works out. I think we're probably going to go to the lowest denominator too, because that's going to affect the commissioner revenue and all of that too. to start with?
I think a narrow application is supported by the economic development goals that we have in the comprehensive plan, and also can help spur economic development. We ought to give it a shot, but it makes sense to, you know, try it in an area that we know is most ripe.
Billy, so probably just saying UDA is our water lines are going to go all the way from the wind down to the women's prison, so you're talking about another mile down from where the UDA ends, another mile less.
So what if we were to, our recommendation could be something like do the UDA, but we kind of have an expectation that that's to take a year to work out all these details and processes or whatever, and recommend that it be expanded as soon as we got this figured out.
We can, but we've already got businesses dropping into the west side of the UDA, but outside the west boundary.
Yeah, there's the rezoning tonight.
Of course, clearly rezoning's not an issue for them.
It's not.
Because they're doing it.
I'm just a little concerned about having people have incentives to put speculative zoning in when they don't have any real expectation of doing it. Now, obviously, one of Mr. Amber Hill, that's one where they do have an expectation of developing. But on the other hand, they're not obviously not concerned about this because they're going to rezone it and immediately start to develop. What this is for is to encourage people that are not necessarily developers to make land available for potential developers by the rezonings. So,
who does this hurt? What's the downside of this? Because I don't see it. In other words, even if I am a builder and I was going to zone that industrial as soon as I could find a buyer, if I go, hey, I'm going to rezone an industrial now and then search harder for a buyer, that still seems to benefit us because things move quick.
But you're discouraging him from saying that. So take a parcel that's outside the area that would be covered by this change. It's,
Oh, yeah. You're discouraging. Yeah.
It's 100 acres of farmland, and I don't want to rezone it because under the general statute, if it's rezoned, as soon as it's rezoned at my request, then the rollback taxes apply.
Yes.
In this case, it really doesn't make any difference because it's all, you're doing the rezoning and then subsequently having the actual physical development substantially at the same time, so it really doesn't make much difference. So what you're really talking about doing is, if you will, assisting the owners of the land, which is currently in rural uses, but is planned for more intensive uses, to set up, to help them market the property, in fact.
Sure.
Can I ask a question? Could we say, for instance, and I don't know whether this is possible, could we say Zions Crossroads Urban Development Area plus areas in the community planning area up to the prison? Wording is probably not right.
I think you need to, whatever line you use, I think you need to have a line because the commissioner needs to know what he's going to roll back. And of course, also the landowner needs to know what the consequences of his action are. So if you, I don't much care where you draw the line, but if you, unless you have a line that's pretty specific, whether it's pictorially or verbally, then how does the landowner know whether he takes his dairy farm and rezones it in anticipation that he's going to market it? He doesn't know whether he's going to get hit by hundreds of thousands of dollars of rollback taxes.
Mr. Fenn, don't rollback taxes only apply if they're coming out of land use?
No. The general statute is that they roll back taxes apply immediately upon the rezoning.
Which is coming out of land use when you rezone.
It's because of land use. So
well, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if they're not in land use now, There are no rollback taxes.
That's right.
But the second it's rezoned today, it's subject to higher property values, potentially. And under this circumstance, it would still be subject to higher property taxes immediately. I mean, higher property value immediately
whether or not
A1 and I2, doesn't the property value likely go up?
Well, yeah, and that's right. But the difference is, if you got property that's being taxed at its fair market value, if you got 100 acres that you're using to graze cattle on, and you're not in land use, you probably have $5,000 or $6,000 an acre, if that's what its highest and best use is for. If you then rezone it to I-2, so that it can be its highest and best use is much more intensive, then its fair market value is probably going to go up. So this only applies to land use property.
This rollback part, yes.
This proposal only relates to that.
It just defers their payment of those rollback taxes until the use change.
Yes.
So this doesn't impact, though, the increased value.
No.
I rezone this. I don't have to pay any land use rollback taxes because I haven't actually, there's no certificate of occupancy. But I do immediately have to start paying the higher tax, the higher valuation,
the
potentially higher valuation.
Your valuation goes up. And it's going to go up either way.
Right.
So
right.
Doesn't matter when the rollback applies, as far as that's concerned, is when I have my 100 acres that I'm grazing the cattle on zone A1, the commissioner is going to come in and assess that, leaving aside land use. He's going to assess it for what he determines to be its fair market value. If he rezones it, if I rezone it, it's probably, Mr. Nichols is right, it's probably going to increase in value, and he'll reassess it. That'll be an event of occasion, reassessment of that property.
So the key is here that if for any property that was allowed to be done this way, if it's rezoned to a higher use, the county benefits from increased taxes on that property, regardless of whether it's in land use or not.
No, that's not true.
Why?
Because if it's in rollback, then the taxes that are assessed, that are actually levied, are at the land use rate.
Oh, so if I'm in A1 land use now, from now until the time the property use is changed, even though I've deferred paying the rollback taxes, I would only pay rollback taxes on the A1 valuation, not the new I2 valuation.
But let me see if I can lay this out more systematically. You have a piece of property, take my 100 acre cattle farm, zone A1. So the commissioner is going to come in and say the fair market value of that is $5,000 an acre. I'm making up the numbers. The land use value is $1,000 an acre if it's zone A1. I can take that 100 acres and take it out of the qualifying land use. I put a subdivision on it, or I can simply stop the agricultural use. I can start making it look like a golf course. I'm not actually using it as a golf course, but I'm not raising cattle on it, I'm not raising crops, no hay, no trees, nothing. That can occasion my going out of land use, but not occasion rollback. I can go out of land, I can have my cattle farm and say, I want to take it out of land use. That doesn't occasion the rollback. Because it's got to have the use change or the zoning change. The use and the zoning remain the same. The rollback doesn't apply, but I'm no longer subject to land use taxation. So when I go down and go to the commissioner's office and say, I'm not renewing my land use application, okay, then the fair market value assessment is going to apply. Let's say it's $5,000 an acre. Some people do that because if they're really planning on changing it from the rural use to a more intensive use, they can avoid the rollback by taking it out of land use, which as long as you don't change the use, doesn't generate the rollback. If you keep it out of land use for 3 years or 5 years, then when you make the big change to the industrial use, there is no rollback.
Because you've been out for 5 years.
Actually, you've been paying the rollback for the 5 years.
No, you haven't. You've just been paying on a higher valuation.
Your valuation goes up, but you're not doing a retrospective.
Yeah, rollback means you had to pay the taxes for the 5 years that are in the past.
Right, so when you...
Which you should have paid.
When you come in and you subdivide it, let's say, not rezone, but you subdivide it, you've taken it out of land use, and you've changed the use, that occasions the rollback. If you take it out of land use but don't change the use, it doesn't occasion a rollback. If you wait 5 years, then there is no rollback. And there are people that do that. I had a client that did it one time. Now, if you, under current law, if you have that 100 acres and you apply, you don't, it's not the county imposes it on you, you apply to rezone it to I-2, then the minute the Board of Supervisors says, gavel falls, you are now I-2, then you're subject to being taxed at fair market value of I-2 property, and you're subject to the rollback for 5 years.
In other words, if you had that 100 acres and you decided to take it, build a house on 5 acres of it, you'd pay rollback taxes on those for 5 years on that 5 acres.
I think they typically do 1 acre. They don't. So if you build a house, they don't say we're going to see where your fence is around your house.
It's a 2 acre.
It's 2 acres. Okay. It's an arbitrary 2 acres. So you would then have your rollback. You have your rollback on 2 acres of it. You keep the 98 in land use. But the point about this is the only change that's being suggested here is to defer the imposition of rollback to the actual change in use, not merely the zoning.
Well, my 100 acres today is in land use, and it's valued at $5 an acre, but I'm only paying based on $1,000 an acre because it's in land use, appropriate approved land use. I rezoned I-2, under this proposal, I rezoned I-2.
And don't change the use.
And don't change the use yet. I don't have to pay rollback taxes.
Still taxed. Which is the only way this would be an incentive, Steve. At first I thought we were saying no. Now I start getting taxed at the $5,000 an acre. So that gives me no real good incentive to rezone this and let the state market it for me. Because that's pretty speculative. If it doesn't do what Fred just said, there's no incentive. So I hope it does that. So everything stays the same until...
The problem is you take your 100 acres, and it's zoned A1, you're grazing cattle. It's in land use. Let's say that the A1 land is worth 5,000 an acre, so that's what the fair market assessment of it would be. With the land use assessment, you're only assessed $1,000 an acre. If this applies, and then the zoning is changed, it doesn't change the land use effect, which otherwise it would. It does change the fair market value. You're not paying taxes on the fair market value,
right?
Because you're paying on land use.
So if you read the first lineup, it explains exactly what you just said.
Well, it only happened. Rollback taxes don't apply, but neither does the industrial valuation.
The industrial valuation applies, but it's deferred.
Okay.
So in 3 years from now, when the use changes, in 3 years from now, when the use changes, and I've been in land use that whole time, now I have to pay rollback taxes for the previous 5 years.
Right.
3 years it was an I-2, so do I pay rollback taxes on the higher valuation? And 2 years on the lower valuation?
Probably.
Okay, because that was the question I was going to have.
Yeah, I think it's
right. From that time forward, even though they don't pay current taxes, here's for the 3 years.
Land use valuation is a deferral, tax deferral, not a tax exemption.
So then the county gets the 5 years of rollback.
In some form.
Either on the ag or the new, depending on how quick they sell it. But they don't start getting any taxes on the higher valuation. They still get the low valuation taxation.
Here's what this, effectively does. If I own this 100 acres, presumably I'm not filthy rich. The land use rollback can be a very substantial figure. Now, I'm dealing with a piece of property in Albemarle County now where it's been in land use for a long time, and the rollback is going to amount to something like $300,000. Well, the people that own the farm can't come up with $300,000. When they sell the property to the developer, they'll have the purchase price and they'll be able to take it. And that's what it's for. You're deferring.
This allows me to rezone it now, but get that rollback amount out of the sale, out of when I sell it. I can get that rollback amount I have to pay out of the sale.
That's part of the incentive.
As opposed to coming get up in advance, which that is a true incentive for me.
The key here is that if we allow them to make the property more marketable, it's more likely to develop the way we want it.
Right, exactly.
The town is always going to end up getting more at the end of it if the use changes, because they've changed to another land use.
That's right.
And so it's a benefit to the taxpayers of Urbana County if we want that type of development.
So if they speculatively rezone and it takes them 5 years to actually change the use to true industrial, the county's better off than if they do it in 2 years.
Absolutely.
Because they get more rollback.
Remember one of those big parks that Brooklyn changed to I-2? Not that we necessarily want it, but that's the area we want this stuff. That's eventually going to give a benefit to the Urbana County. Yes.
So shouldn't we just try the Zions Cross Urban Development Area first to see how this kind of plays out? Maybe 6 months we want to expand it. Maybe a year we want to expand it.
A lot of our inquiries are actually west of Mr. Smith.
That's where the population center is. Charlottesville.
So from our perspective, it would make sense to include the entire CPA.
Well, but remember one thing about that is it depends on what kind of use you're talking about. So what we're really trying to encourage is industrial and commercial. Residential use doesn't pay for itself.
Right.
So if there's going to be residential development in the western area, it's going to happen anyway. There's going to be a certain amount of residential use. What we're really trying to encourage is the industrial and the commercial.
Okay. So maybe we should go to the entire CPA.
East of the Beaver Dam Road, at least, because that's coming back towards the water line.
The middle option, Zion Crossroads Community Planning Area. Does that include the Zion Crossroads Open Development Area?
The CPA is everything here in pink. The Urban Development Area is located just within here.
Okay. Now I've changed my mind and thinking we should do the middle option.
The whole CPA.
Yeah. Well, listening to Mr. Stewart say that a lot of the inquiries are west, and so therefore also probably the first water is going to be in that area. So that's my thought.
It seems to be Mr. Nichols' preferred option. Water, also.
Something west of the women's prison, but maybe not too far. But something west of the women's prison would be helpful because the water line is going from west of the women's prison all the way back to Zion Crossroads and then south of 15. I'm not sure what natural barrier road, if you pull a GIS maybe, but Beaver Dam is really far west. It runs to the center of where 64 shows on there.
Right.
So that may be too far west, but if you go a mile west of the women's prison, you still have two more miles to go to get down on a line. And that's well before you get to Beaver Dam Road, a mile west. Memory Lane.
Like Payne's Mill.
Memory Lane, Fox Glen, subdivision, Payne's Mill.
Zion Road is the one that cuts there just west of the prison is Zion Road.
Right, exactly. It's that red one just above that white mark.
Exactly. That's Zion Road.
So maybe you can go from there, from that intersection.
We can come back at the next work session with a detailed set of alternatives.
You know, Councilman, tell the Fred and find out if there's some reasonable natural barriers to these things, and then show it to the planning commission in a big blow up,
yeah.
And let them kind of decide that
line. Yeah, we can bring back something for you.
Well, I see the economic development person here. I'd like to hear what they have to say.
I would suggest piggybacking off of our shelter site program, which we created to implement in the Zion Crossroads site area. It just makes sense that we don't have to map out this road.
The entire right. Pink area.
And I've already been, I haven't been able to reach out to the potential client, but there's a family-owned property about 300 acres that could be interested in this strategic zoning initiative. And if we corral them, they're west of the correctional facility.
It's a great big parcel on the north side of the road.
So maybe we should work between the planning department, the administrator, and economic development and come up with what they think before we go forward on this.
We'll run it by Mr. Payne to make sure he's got some reasonable from his perspective.
We'll bring back something for you.
To me, it makes sense to include definitely the UDA, but like I said, most of our inquiries are happening in the women's prison area right now, in that perimeter. So,
yeah, Zion's proper.
Easy for us, maybe not for
I think we should go with the Zion's Crossroads Community Planning Area if that's what we're talking about, so.
I mean, we're talking about 3/4 of the CPA anyway.
Right.
And we're hoping that something happens where it's not on to have a long policy in the future.
That's all I have.
Do you want them to come back with the CBA, Shovelway Site Program, comprehensive of the whole area, come back with a proposal?
Sure. And we have a motion in regards to that rezoning fee, getting rid of that $50 an acre. We added that into our unfinished business.
So the plan right now is for us
for the real meeting.
Yeah.
Come back with a final policy.
That's going to be in a regular session.
Yes, sir.
So the plan right now is for us to come back with a final policy for y'all to make a recommendation to the board supervisors to have.
In regards to into strategic zoning.
Yes. Okay, next item is small home business ordinance discussion. Brad, I just remind you that we only got 12 minutes before we start our regular session.
We're trying to jump back on this item. It came before you back in the summer, and we're just basically presenting the same research again. And the research that you have is just a list of localities and definitions. We added in one additional locality. The biggest thing, if you remember, there were some speakers at, I think it was the July meeting back in the summer, that was asking the county to take a look at allowing a little more flexibility for some of the businesses that operate from homes, more specifically like artisans, artists, et cetera. And so we have three definitions on the spreadsheet at the top, which are Flavanna's current definitions. We have a definition for home occupation, a fine art studio, and small home industry. And Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the small home industry usually comes into play if they're looking to use an accessory structure.
Correct. And that's one of the things we would like to distinguish is perhaps the intensity of home occupation types, because a person operating a sewing business in an outbuilding, a detached garage, is a different intensity than the brewery that we have a small industry special use permit for. But potentially would still require
giving art lessons, giving art lessons and accessory
things like that. So,
sure.
So the home occupation definition basically confines any activity to the home or the primary dwelling. Then the small home industry definition is applied if you use any other structures on the property other than the primary dwelling. And then we have specifically the fine art studio definition. And really, in order for us to try to draft a text amendment, what we kind of need some direction on, do we want to consider, because currently right now, you can do a home occupation by right, and I'm specifically speaking of A1 districts, agricultural district. You can do it by right, but the other two require a special use permit, and that was one of the main concerns from some of the speakers. There are some artists or artisans who are a little bit reluctant to want to participate because of the special use permit requirement. A fine art studio requires a special use permit, and small home industry requires a special use permit. So when we started out with this, we were thinking about expanding the definition of home occupation, but the other question might be, where we want to get some direction from me is, do we want to change the special use permit requirement for fine art studio? Because we could certainly expand our home occupation definition, but a fine art studio still requires a special use permit. So it might be that maybe we need to look at the special use permit requirement instead of the definition. A lot of the research that we have on this sheet, you know, there's never really inconsistency when you look at different localities. But there's one locality that specifies artisans or artists come under their home occupation.
That was
Chesterfield. Whereas there was another definition, I think it was Loudoun. They specifically, you know, mentioned whether or not the public comes to the studio. Right now, we don't really distinguish. And that might be something to consider, whether we want it to be a use by right versus a special use permit, whether it's open to the public or not. I would imagine if the artists are participating, they would probably need the ability of the public to come to the facility. So that's a question we had.
I think one of the concerns were some of these artists teach occasionally classes. Some of them actually give them to kids free and so forth like that. And how that would apply to our zoning, whether they had to get a special use permit, and what areas in the county that they'll apply to. And you know, it's kind of, if you get into a real community, safe, I'm just going to use this because they would have to do something with, I'm going to use like in Lake Monticello, where you've got a lot of houses together, then you got 10 or 15 cars trying to park on the road or whatever like that. That could be a problem. In other areas, it wouldn't be a problem. So that was some of the discussion we had.
And I don't know how much time I have left, but I would say, like, some of the definitions you may see on the spreadsheet, there are localities that break it down by class. And if you look at Louisa's definition, with their class 1 and 2, I believe they mentioned a number in there, so that might be something we want to look at. They have a Class A and a Class B, and they specifically mention, for example, in the Class A, there should not be more than 5 clients. Whereas in Class B, they say there should be no more than 10 employees or clients. So if we want to add some classes to our home occupation definition.
Well, I'd like to give these people a little more flexibility and so forth. I think that some of the things that they were talking about cannot work in the county, because some of it they wanted us to try to overrule a homeowners association, which we can't do, and so forth like that. And but I'd like to have some flexibility in the county for these artists that maybe every so often wants to give a class to, and I know it's already happening in the county.
Right, and
but we just need to make it.
Some of their point was the SUP fees were prohibitive for the lady over in Kent's store who was giving classes twice a week to kids in her dining room. And if she wanted to have a small building to do that in, and then, you know, $800 or whatever the SUP fee is, it's $800, right?
Yes.
It would take a lot of, a lot of handprint pictures, paying for a lot of those to...
To that end, some jurisdictions, I think, have determined classes of occupations into major and minor or something like that. Some of which, and then the third one, which is the SUP level, which is a much higher intensity level. But I've seen where major home occupations can be administratively approved based on a set of established criteria. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just a by right. You have to submit, show how you're meeting those criteria for approval. And then that gives you something that's a little bit more intensive than the standard by right, but doesn't fall to the level of an SUP. And then it would be a $50 fee or something to come in and review that. I mean, that's certainly possible.
Could that be like a permit process?
Maybe you need a proposal to look something like that. Because
a lot of places require a zoning permit for that type of use. And I know in the county, we did that through a business license process. We don't have that here, but that can be accomplished through a permit process. A simple zoning permit.
Right.
Or how would we frame it?
There's some discretion on your guys. Some discretion on your end, because if there's something in the nature of the business or the occupation that's potentially an issue. The brewery was a good one. Pressurized tanks, so there's potential for something. Significant soap manufacturing, you have chemicals, because I have friends who do that. And, they buy a lot of lye, which is, whereas art studio, probably not, unless it's your art is welding, sculpture, then maybe there needs to be so. If you guys have the discretion or the ability to make use of discretion and say, this falls into this category because there's these hazardous aspects to it, that would make a lot of sense.
How do y'all think we should go about this? I mean, I think that these people need a little more flexibility after listening to them and so forth like that. Say, for instance, they teach a class maybe once a month or 10 times a year or 6 times a year and have to get an SUP, it just seems, and I know it's already happening in the county.
Can you cut down on the number of public hearings we have for minor items that we routinely approve with the same conditions and also be more flexible with the citizens?
I would like to see something that is sort of like a permitting process that doesn't put the cost so bad on these people, like getting an SUP or something like that. So that's my opinion.
So I'm thinking probably the fine art studio require special use permit requirement would probably be what we would need to take a look at. Mm-hmm. And just to say real quickly,
we only got 1 minute left.
If you recall, last month we started talking about the accessory apartments and having to also take a look at our home occupation definition. So we're going to try to consolidate these.
Okay. Thank you. Does anybody need to take a break before we go into our regular session?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
now 7 o'clock. I'll be calling to order the regular meeting of the Fluvanna Planning Commission for December 12th. First item of business is a call to order, which I have just done, and the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the director's report.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. The next item is the first of two public comment sections tonight. This public comment section is for any item other than the item is on the public hearing. The public hearing, you will be able to speak on those items, but any other item, anybody wishing to come forward, you will be limited to 3 minutes. You would come forward and sit at the chair and speak to us. Seeing no one coming forward, we will move on.
Excuse me, what are the items that we're talking about to come forward on?
Any other item than the items that are up for public hearing tonight?
Okay, it's the Amberville LLC.
That is public hearing. You'll be able to speak. When I open the public hearing, you'll be able to speak then. Seeing no one coming forward for the first of two public comment section, we'll end the public comment section and we'll go with the minutes of the November 6, 2017 meeting. Do I have a motion? Do I have any comments on the minutes from our last meeting?
Make a motion that be accepted as written.
I have a motion for Mr. Johnson to be accepted. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second for Mr. Lagosino. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. The next item is public hearing. The first item is the capital improvements plan for the years 2019 through 2023. Brad Robinson.
All right, just going to give a brief presentation and recap what you've been working on since October with the capital improvement plan. So this year's CIP for 2019 to 2023 includes a total of 32 projects that were submitted by various county departments. One of the changes that occurred this year is that you only ranked the projects that had a number one ranking from the department that submitted the project. So that was a big change for this year. And it was decided in future years that would be the practice. The total cost is over $38 million. Over $5 million for the fiscal year 2019. Excuse me. So the projects that you ranked as a number one include those on the screen for parks and recreation, playground expansion, and athletic field lighting. For public works, the equipment purchase and replacement plan, public safety building addition, historic courthouse renovation. For fire and rescue, CPR devices, vehicle replacement for replacement and replacement for Lake Monticello, and self-contained breathing replacement. And then the county's fleet replacement program for county vehicles, sheriff's vehicles, social services. And all of these were ranked number one by the Planning Commission. Items from school, you'll still need to rank this evening. It was decided that that would be completed this evening. But the school's fleet replacement was also, those items were ranked as number one by the Planning Commission for the school buses and the student transport facilities vehicles. So that concludes our presentation. I can attempt to answer your questions. Otherwise, a suggested motion is on the screen. And just to clarify, this is a public hearing as well.
Anybody have any questions? Okay. Thank you. We will be now open in the public hearing. Anyone wishing to come forward and to speak about the CIP for this year, please come forward, state your name and address. Seeing no one come forward, I'll turn it over to the Planning Commission for discussion. And I'll make my normal comment that I normally make about the computer and structural technology that I always make it. I think it doesn't really qualify for the CIP, although Mr. Nichols always tells me that we could control it if it's not in the school budget but in the CIP. But I wonder how that happens, because they do have technology budget also for that. And also notice in money they didn't spend, there was exactly $165,000 reappropriated from money they didn't spend for the same thing that $165,000 of this $300,000 is going to be spent for. So for laptops and so forth. So that's my only comment. We have really worked on this, and there's been some changes made and some things moved to different locations and out years and so forth like that. And I agree with most everything on the thing. I don't have any problems with the rankings, even the number two rankings on the school situation here.
I would agree, given the volume of buildings and other structures, I guess we learned to call them tonight, the buildings and structures that the school have, this is a pretty modest capital request.
Yes, it is.
Given everything they've got on their plate, so I would just say we ranked them all one.
Okay. There's no more discussion, no more questions. Do I have a motion?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Anyone from the public wishing to come forward to speak about the CIP, please come forward. Seeing no one come forward, we'll end the public hearing on the CIP. And do we have a motion?
Sure. I would move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of the fiscal year 2019 to 2023 capital improvement plan as presented, with the additional rankings of the school, the four school requests for 2019, as ranking them all level one.
Okay. I have a motion by Mr. Zimmer. Do I have a second?
A second.
I have a second from Mrs. Castellessa. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0.
Priority ones for the school, those four items
in the school,
I leave it
1-1-2-2. I did
say all ones.
He said all
ones. Thank you.
Okay, the second item tonight is ZMP 1704, Amber Hill LLC. Mr. Robinson.
Just so you know, there is some correspondence that I passed out. Included each of your stations, some citizen correspondence that we received.
Mr.
And I'm just going to do a brief staff presentation for rezoning application ZMP 1704, which is for property currently owned by Amber Hill LLC. So the property is specifically identified as tax map 4A27A, contains 90.17 acres. And this rezoning request was initiated by the Board of Supervisors, so that's why it states on the screen this is an ordinance to rezone from currently A1 zoning to I2 industrial general zoning. The project is in the Palmyra Election District and the Rural Residential Planning Area. The rezoning request was initiated for a proposed auto reclamation facility, which you'll see on the following slide. So this is just the location of the property within Fluvanna County as a whole. And then if you recall the discussion from the work session, this is one of the projects that's just west of the UDA and the correctional facility that was spoke of earlier. So this is the zoning map, which currently shows the property to be zone A1. It looks dark green on the screen, but it's really a light green. So this is the parcel here. And this parcel here is currently owned by A.G. Dillard, which is an industrial business at the end of Memory Lane across from this property. That property is currently split on I-1 and I-2. So I just want to note that when you see this property's zoning, this is just an aerial view, and this is what I'm talking about. Here's A.G. Dillard here. Here's the correctional facility. And if you were to travel at Memory Lane, to Route 250 runs right up here. And I want to highlight that A.G. Dillard is currently designated rural residential, but it is currently zoned industrial. So this project, while both of these parcels are not directly within the Zions Crossroads Community Planning Area, as you can see, both of them touch it. Everything in pink is the Zion Crossroads Community Planning Area, and these parcels are located right against it at the end of Memory Lane. And again, just to highlight that A.G. Dillard is zoned industrial, but it's currently outside of the CPA. And as I mentioned earlier, auto reclamation facility, which we would classify as a salvage yard in our ordinance, this is what is the potential development on the property. And these are some photographs of what auto reclamation facility looks like or could look like. Excuse me. Not to say that the one that's proposed will look exactly like this, but this is just a sample. So that would be a fairly good-sized building on the property, and then the remainder of the property will be used, as you see in the photos, for vehicles. So as mentioned earlier, the project is located within the rural residential planning area, but it is adjacent to the Zions Crossroads Community Planning Area, which is designated as the county's primary regional economic development area. If the rezoning request is approved, it's important to note that the proposed use would still require review and approval of a special use permit by the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors. And then even after that, they would still have to seek approval of a site development plan as well. So the rezoning, which has been county initiated, is just the front end of this. The proposed development still has to obtain their own special use permit requirement.
What necessitates the special use permit above the rezoning?
The salvage yard classification is requires a special use permit in I-2 zoning.
That's the only designation that's permitted in the county, but it still has to get a special use permit. It's not by right.
Even in an I-2, it's not by right.
Mm-hmm. It's not I-2. I'm not right in I-2, excuse me. So to conclude, one thing I failed to mention earlier, the property formerly contained a salvage yard, which discontinued use within the last couple of years. There was a salvage yard operated by Cosmo Brothers. And one thing I failed to mention as well is the parcel directly north of this. We have received a rezoning request on it. I'm going to go back a couple of slides. parcel directly north of this, both of these properties, my understanding is they were both part of the Cosner Brothers operation, and then at one point in time, I believe they sold, and now they're owned by different owners. This property is for sale, and they have submitted a rezoning application that we just received last week. That'll be coming before a public hearing in January, if everything stays on schedule. And they're requesting the same zoning. And in the case of that parcel, you can see they're within the Zion Crossroads planning area. So to go back, the former use was a salvage yard. There are other properties along Newbury Lane that are currently zoned limited industrial. As mentioned earlier, special use permit is still required. And the Planning Commission, as part of reviewing this request, should consider how it does or does not align with the comprehensive plan. So that concludes my presentation. I can attempt to answer any questions you might have.
And basically, the Board of Supervisors sent this to us.
Yes.
I have two questions then. What do you mean the Board of Supervisors sent this to us? What does that mean? Did this already come through the Planning Commission and I missed it?
No, the Board of Supervisors, there's three entities that have the ability to initiate a rezoning request.
Okay.
The Board of Supervisors being one, they initiated it. It has to come to you all for action, but then it has to go back to them for action as well.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Fred.
That's correct.
Okay. And so what was their reasoning for initiating this?
Because of the proposed economic development.
Okay.
And
what does, so when I first heard auto reclamation, I pictured there'd be a big car crusher there. And I'm sure that's not a technical term, but that's what I know it as. But then I saw the pictures with this big enclosed industrial building, and all the cars were out there parked in neat rows. So what does an auto reclamation business do?
I might have to seek some assistance from our economic development director, so I'll let him go forward.
So essentially what they're going to do is they're going to bring in the vehicles, and they're going to strip them down. They're going to recycle whatever fluids and other parts that they can recycle in the building, in the facility, and then they'll store the parts that they can resell in the yard.
It's like a co-part facility.
Like a what?
Co-parts.
So customers will be able to order online. They'll have several box trucks that will go out for deliveries daily. They'll have 5 or 10 tractor trailers coming throughout the week to deliver vehicles. And those photos that Brad had shown earlier, those are actual photos of facilities throughout the country. That's how the facility will look. The yard. They basically have to clean up the entire salvage yard that was there 20 years ago.
Can I ask a question? Why is the name of the company not being mentioned?
They've asked not to be acknowledged. Mr. Chair, we're still in negotiations with the company, and we're not permitted to release the information on that yet. That will come when we do the special use permit process.
Okay.
Is there some indication of the number of jobs this will provide and the value of the tax base?
Yeah, so along with reclaiming the property and building the facility, they're guaranteeing 35 to 40 jobs within 3 years. And 100,000 square foot facility, it's going to be about an $18 million investment for the company.
Maybe I should be.
I believe it's top five largest sites in the country. So.
Maybe I should be up front because I think I know the name of this company. I think I overheard it somewhere, and I actually looked into this company. So I just want everybody up front that I think I know who they are. I'm not positive.
We'll ask you not to discuss it.
With the rezoning, what by rights? So say this falls through. So we rezone it to I-2. What by rights process is going to happen then?
Are you asking what other uses are permitted by right?
By right.
In our package, it shows sawmills, permanent and temporary, solid waste collection facilities, truck terminals, upholstery shops, wholesale warehouses, contractor storage yards, lumber yards, machine shops, light manufacturing, medium manufacturing, railroad facilities, and research laboratories.
That's correct.
This type of facility is more refined than what people would classify in the old days as a junkyard. They're actually doing the recycling, where used to be in the old junkyard, somebody said, well, I need a fuel pump off of such and such a vehicle, and then they go out in the lot, and then they try to find it, and they pick it off. But these actually recycle the vehicles as they come in and strip it for the actual parts that can be recycled.
And I'll make one additional comment just to make sure it's clear that this application tonight is just dealing with the zoning of the property itself. The use or the proposed use, some of the issues that are brought out in the citizen correspondence, some of that will be more directly associated with the special use permit. So lighting, buffers, noise, things such as that would be associated with the special use permit review.
Anybody have any more questions for Mr. Robinson? Would the applicant like to come forward? Or is that?
The county is the applicant.
The county is
okay,
the applicant.
County is the applicant, okay. Any more questions? Okay, if not, we're going to open the public hearing. Anyone that wishes to come forward to speak about this matter, please come forward to the microphone, state your name and address, and you will be limited to 3 minutes.
Once I sit down.
Strict
clock.
My name is Frank Gallo. I live at 115 Meechunk Ridge Lane, Keswick, Virginia, which is in the Palmyra District. And please understand, I feel like Daniel in the lion's den. I'm not opposed to economic development, but I'm all for rational development, especially in the Zion Crossroads urban area. I would point out, I'm not going to address whether or not the Board of Supervisors appropriately passed their resolution. I personally think they passed it under the wrong section of the county ordinance. But it adds an imprimatur to this project that it really doesn't deserve. Of course, it saved the applicant about $5,500 in fees. I would point out that in 2013, the planning department designated this area for light industry on 250. And let's face it, you can put as much lipstick on this pig as you want. It's still a junkyard. And it's a 90-acre junkyard. In 2014, the Economic Development Commission suggested light industrial technology businesses, retail commercial businesses, technology parks, specialty healthcare facilities. In 2014, the Economic Development Commission struck again and suggested a technology overlay for this area. And the Board of Supervisors work session in 2016, and it came up with an excellent idea, which was a hybrid zone commercial industrial. This is the heaviest use you can make of this land, and it's the worst possible use you can make in this particular area. Comprehensive plan talks about external costs. And if you look at that map carefully, you will see that there's a housing development nearby. There are other residential areas. All those little lots that you saw would be affected by this. Memory Lane is a small road. If you're going to have 5 or 10 tractor trailers hauling stuff in and out, you're going to have problems. And as I said, I'm not here objecting to economic development, but I think it has to be rational. And part of our external costs of putting a 90-acre junkyard there is all these other industries that we want, that would fit in an industrial zone will be less likely to develop there and build there. And I would strongly encourage this commission, despite the push from the Board of Supervisors, to deny it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Image there.
Anyone else wish you to come forward? State your name and address. You will be limited to 3 minutes.
I'm Dave Gorley. I live at 390 Buckridge Road, and my property joins this parcel on the back side there. And I've just got a couple of comments here. That, as we saw earlier, this property is not in the comprehensive plan. It just borders it. And so zoning inconsistent with a plan to benefit an individual is called spot zoning, and that's not permitted. The fact that it was a junkyard is grandfathered in and pretty much irrelevant, because you can see from the photograph it is mostly cleaned up. The fact that you've got 35, 40 jobs here, the location, these people are just as likely to live in Albemarle County or Louisa County. So the only tax benefit would be the fact that it's industrial land as opposed to agricultural. Then I'm concerned about the downstream agricultural land that's still there. What's going to happen with the water and stuff when you bring this? And then, as far as water is concerned, where are they going to get their water? Has this pipeline from the James River started? Have you started building that? That you're going to bring to the prison and then come down the road a little bit? And that's all I've got to say.
Thank you.
The pipeline there is coming from the Department of Corrections. It's not related.
From their reservoir? The one I can see the bottom of?
That's where that initial pipeline is coming from. The pipeline from
it's not sufficient for the prison.
Let me finish. The pipeline from the James River Water Authority will come in 2020 to help supplement.
So that hasn't been even started?
I don't want to say it hasn't been started. There's lots of planning.
I've lived in the county for a long time.
The money has been appropriated and the plans are in their final stages.
All right.
Anyone else wishing to come forward, please come forward. State your name and address. You will be limited to 3 minutes.
I am E. Vernon Smith, Jr. I own 85 acres of this land that joins Mr. Cosmo's land, and did you all get a copy of this letter from my daughter, Sergeant Katie Smith? Good. Basically, what we did, I settled there in 1977, and we bought 12 acres of land then, and I raised my two girls there on that 12 acres of land, and then last I gave some land to my eldest daughter who built on it last summer, and then my Air Force daughter wanted to find some land there too, so that she could build on it too. And then it would be a whole family group. There's my wife and I, and my older daughter, and my younger daughter. And then all of a sudden we're getting this scare of turning the land that we had planned on living on and growing old on. Well, I'm old now anyway, but the kids, and then we're finding out that they're planning. They want them to change the zoning so that we our plans would be very very upset, depending on, of course, what they build on that land that is sort of a problem for us now, and so I just want to say that my daughters and I, that's it, huh?
I'll give you a little bit.
Sir?
I'll give you a little bit more time.
Well, my daughters and I are saying when we bought these 73 acres from the Cosners in July, we hadn't planned on this problem, and it is a problem to us.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Anyone else wanting to come forward and speak on this matter, please come forward, state your name and address. You'll be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward in the public comment section and the public hearing, and we will go to discussion by the Planning Commission. Does anybody have any comments? I basically looked at this and so forth like that, and looked it up some of the types of recycling companies that operate now, which is a little bit different than a junkyard and so forth like that. And I do, this property was basically a junkyard all my life that I can remember, so so forth like that. So I just, there was a couple things I had to say. Not allowed to mention the company, but I have looked into this company.
Would it be able to ask our Board of Supervisors representative to maybe ask him why this came to us from them and what his thoughts on this are? Maybe get a sense of that.
Well, it's been part of our economic development efforts. This was a large company, a national company, that was looking at a number of areas. We competed for it. We feel very positive about the potential of this company, not only just bringing the initial slew of jobs, but expanding maybe to 60 plus the investment that's coming in, and really starting to build on that vision of economic development for the Science Crossroads area. Of course, everybody has a different vision of what that may look like. But the reality is that it has to start in certain places, and while a lot of industrial development is occurring on 250, this is a little bit off the side of the road and a little bit behind there, and as has been mentioned, was previously used for a junkyard. This facility is going to be much cleaner and more organized, presentable, I think, from that standpoint. The recycling of used car parts these days, due to the cash or clunkers part, has become a very profitable business. Essentially, there's not enough parts around, and so they ship these parts all over the world and all over the country as well, too. So there'll be, you know, lots of revenue that's generated, both the machinery and tools tax, industrial tax, from the rezoning of the property, and of course, the jobs that are coming into the area. So I think the Board of Supervisors has made a serious commitment to bringing economic development into Levana so they can compete with the surrounding counties, and this is a viable business that adds to that vision.
Do we have any other discussion? Anybody else have any other types of questions for Mr. Robinson or anyone else? I might ask you, this company is a very reputable, nationally, internationally known company?
It's fair to say that, and I think they're a Fortune 500-based company.
Most of the coal crushing activity will be done in the building?
I do not know those specifics. I'd have to defer to.
We don't have a lot of details regarding that process, but they're not going to be crushing vehicles every day, every hour.
But the answer to that, Mr. Johnson, is that's a question for the special use
permit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to determine that during that process, but from what information that I know, they're not going to be crushing vehicles.
And I assume things like there were some requests in a separate letter, not from Ms. Ward, but from somebody else about hours of operation. Those are all special use permit details, details, right?
They're typically addressed, but this is placed upon by recommendation of the Planning Commission, right, before supervisors.
Right. I don't think it's intended to be a real retail operation as much as a shipping operation.
No, most of their operations run from like a 9 to 5. You might have some people that get there early, maybe leave late. But like Mr. Stewart was saying, that's going to be discussed during the SUP process.
I think if we divorce the SUP and any impacts of this particular business from the rezoning action is appropriate. So then what we have to do is decide whether I-2 zoning is the appropriate zoning for this particular parcel of land, given the uses that may be on the property by right or by SUP. I mean, this particular deal, while we're working very hard on it, could certainly fall through. And then, you know, you have a certain number of by right uses that could go in there, as well as other special use permit uses. And while lines in a comprehensive plan on a planning area are not the same as zoning lines, I understand this property is right up near the community planning area line. Those lines are generally drawn in a community process based on the proximity of various pieces of land and what makes sense for a given area. And my immediate concern is that there are properties even between this. There's another property between this property and Memory Lane, dividing it in one area, particularly its access area, from the community planning area. I think we really need to limit our discussion to, is I-2, you know, heavy industrial zoning appropriate for this particular piece of land? That's how I would approach
it. Those comments are very apt. You two kind of took the words out of my mouth. And I think both the comments the member has made are entirely appropriate. You should consider that if this property is rezoned, it may not be devoted to this use. That would be a subject for the special use permit. The things that you should have expectations are the uses by right. And you've had those read to you what they are. The question is that appropriate? Is this the appropriate place for uses like that, including but not limited to the possibility of this recycling? one other comment on the lines on the map. Comprehensive plan does, as she says, differ from zoning ordinance. It is not site specific, and it's one of the questions that you and the Board of Supervisors would have to determine is whether this, in fact, is appropriate in this area with respect to the objectives of the comprehensive plan. And if you determine that it is, then the fact that it's on one side of the line or the other is not controlling. If you determine that it were in the district and yet it was not appropriated, that wouldn't be controlling either. So I think you probably said it better than I did, but I agree with your comments.
I agree with the comments. I think the problem is, do we get into speculative zoning and zone this based on this project coming through, and then it doesn't, and then we end up with these other uses? And I think our analysis tonight needs to focus on those other uses. I agree with that.
Anybody else have any more comments, questions?
I would simply say that I suspect that the possibility of this falling through is small. So all I would say.
It does bother me in a way that we don't know who this is. But on the other hand, we've got several different processes we're going to have to go through. It's going to be up to the Board of Supervisors. All we're doing is basically making a recommendation, and then it's going to go to them for an actual formal vote. And then we've also got the fact that if it's approved, the rest of it will come up in the SUP and the site plan and so forth like that. So it's a lot of process to go through before there's any finality.
Barry, I agree with you, but I also think, the Planning Commission has a role, and that is to do all the heavy lifting on evaluating these things, because the Board of Supervisors has 75 different things they need to do, and our job is to look at the zoning and those kind of things. And I think, and I can't remember how to say your last name, Ms. Costello?
Catalesa.
Makes a good point. I think what we have to tell the planning the Board of Supervisors is I too right for this? Is I too right for this? And again, as Mr. Payne said, it's there in the general area of the CPA. So I don't think the fact that it's essentially abuts but is not part of whatever map was produced when the comprehensive plan was. It's not quite there. That's probably not a real controlling factor. It's not like we're 50 miles from the CPA. We're literally next to it. 35, 40 jobs. I don't think that's anything to sneeze about it. Any business that comes into Flavanna County, those jobs could be from Buckingham residents, Goochland, Cumberland, Flavanna, Charlottesville, Stanton, for all of that. There's a lot of people that drive a long way to go to work in Richmond and Charlottesville.
There's also some other industrial uses in that same area. Some of it even adjoining.
Many, many industrial uses there.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is kind of where we're at with this. It's not coming from the entity that wants to build. So one of the problems I'm struggling with is they have no skin in the game at the moment.
That's not accurate, but this is an effort to fast track the process. This is not a no skin in the game situation. This is not a speculative thing.
And then the other issue, if you look at the I-2 uses, if this does fall through, a sawmill that has a lot of noise, a lot of stuff that goes with it, a truck terminal, that could be a major impact in those neighborhoods. I'm kind of familiar with the type of facility. I do a lot of work, following up on car fire investigations at these type of facilities. So I'm familiar with it, and if that project is the project that's going to go there, it kind of lessens some of my concerns.
I believe in, our economic developer can speak to it, but the pictures that we're showing are very representative of the facilities.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And just so everyone's aware, Amber LLC is... they're aware that we're talking about the rezoning. We've been in discussion for the last 6 to 8 months with them. They're in favor of the rezoning. They're preparing to come to next week's board meeting to answer questions and meet with folks. I know we've been in touch or been in contact with their engineering team. They've met with the Dilla team. We're actually meeting with them again next week, so they're aware of our actions tonight, and then we'll see if we can work with them. So, this is one of the contingencies for getting them here.
Well, I get the feeling the county has endorsed this anyway, and even if we turn it down at the planning commission meeting, it's still going to go through with or without our blessings. So right. I think it does. I think the rating's on the wall.
I think Mr. Zimmer's point that it's still the role of the planning commission to do the quote heavy lifting with respect to this is applicable, and certainly the board of supervisors respects the opinion of the planning commission, and so I wouldn't dissuade, despite the fact that, you know, if you want to put it in the way you put it, that maybe it's a done deal, which of course is never done until at least three votes pass on this board, that you share your thoughts and your concerns.
Can I ask a sort of a legal question? Is there a way to rezone it, and if it's this type of thing, and if this doesn't come through, could that rezoning be rescinded?
Yes. Let me say one other thing in connection with that, and that is that the Board of Supervisors has the right and duty to evaluate the impact of a zoning action on the people of the county general. Economic development is a proper subject for zoning consideration. So I'm not telling you that's what you have to do, but you should consider the economic development aspects of any rezoning when you're dealing with it. Now, obviously, there are other considerations as well, environmental and noise and all that sort of thing. But let's say that the proper considerations for zoning decisions do not appear to me to be all on one side. There are considerations on both sides. And if it turns out the Board of Supervisors were determined that this deal has fallen through and there's no prospects for, this isn't helping economic development, that might be a basis for zoning into something else. So there's, forever is a long time and it only applies in very limited circumstances, and zoning is not one of them.
So if we wanted to, if we decided to rezone this as requested, how would we word it so that if it's not used for this particular purpose, that it could, that the zoning was null and void?
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
What you could do.
But we could rescind it.
Let me just throw out a hypothetical to you. I'm not saying this is what you should do or what you shouldn't do or what you have to do. What you might do is you might say, in light of the potential for economic development in connection with this approval, the commission is able to recommend this approval to the extent that future developments indicate that economic development potential is not substantial. The commission would endorse rezoning it to another use, whatever that might be. It might not be A1, it might be commercial or I1, whatever it might be. That would be guidance for the Board of Supervisors, but your primary recommendation, the way I've stated it, would be for approval. Now, if you don't think that it meets those criteria, then you should recommend something else. But that's the way I think you would do it. You can't say, we want you to approve this, but it sunsets if XYZ company doesn't come in.
Do we have any other discussion? Okay. Do I have a motion? Say no.
Well, we're going to have, somebody's going to have to make a motion.
We don't have to make a motion.
But I think we should express something. We should either vote it up, vote it down. Doesn't seem like deferral.
If we don't have a motion, we table it, right?
I'm not sure. But
you're going to have to make a recommendation one way or the other.
Right.
If you don't, after, I think it's 100 days, it goes forward with your recommendation.
Without.
Being deemed to be recommended.
I think it would be a bad precedent for the Planning Commission not to make a motion with regard to a significant investment of time and energy on the part of the county to attract economic development to the area. I think that would be a very negative sign in the business community if the Planning Commission were not to at least make a motion from that standpoint.
Right. However we vote, that's, you know, that's all of our own personal decision, I get. But I think it's important that a motion be made. I'll be glad to make that motion. And then maybe it will die for want of a second. That's
we have a motion by Mr. Zimmer, and tell us what your motion is.
I would move that we approve this, and then we can vote how we want, or
call the vote.
Let it die for a second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Zimmer. Do I have a second? And I don't have a second.
I would recommend you call the vote.
Can I make a substitute motion? If that,
I guess that
has died for a lack of second?
Yeah.
Before I make the motion, I'm going to say why I want to make the motion. I'm very supportive of economic development in the county and bringing businesses in, and there's been a lot of discussion about this type of economic development and the jobs. I'm also very concerned about the type and location of economic development and economic development of what sort in what place in the county. Light industrial versus heavy industrial also is of concern to me. And I don't know whether there are other options for looking at uses which may have improved over time and, you know, be substantially in buildings that might have a connotation that is negative that can be controlled by SUP that might be handled with a zoning text amendment to put in a lighter industrial area, for example.
I think we actually need a motion.
I wanted to get that out so I could say why I'm making the motion I'm making. I would move that the Planning Commission defer on this particular action because I'd like to see us come up with maybe a way to accomplish all of this. As it stands, I'm sensing some hesitation on this particular parcel without having it tied to a particular use, which we can't do, and with the effects of having I-2 zoning on this property without that guarantee. Maybe we can do it by zoning text amendment.
You couldn't. In an ordinary case, you could do it with a profit.
Okay, we have a motion for deferral.
Or with proffer. Yeah, there's certainly some.
So in effect, will we take it up at our next meeting again?
Well, again, you know, part of the effort here, and I think I respect the Planning Commission's position on wanting to know more. I would say that a lot of energy has been focused around the very specifics of what this is going to be used for. So it's not this is not the county's whim to just change this to I-2 and let any other business come in there from that standpoint. This is very much directed at the efforts that the Economic Development director has made and the county has made together with this particular company, along with the owners of the property and the surrounding owners from that standpoint, and along with the plans that are being made for developing the water pipeline up to 50. So it is an expansive effort, if you would, from that standpoint. And because it's an expansive effort, and because timeline's important, and because we're also looking to send a positive message to the development community and to businesses in the area, I don't know that the use of that property would be modified and changed very much based on this one particular company. And I would say that the deferral would only add to that. I would rather see an up and down vote, no or yes, than a deferral, in my opinion.
We do have a deferral.
Get a question for Mr. Payne.
Sure.
Does a deferral on our part hinder the board supervisors from taking this issue and having their own public hearing on it next week?
Yes.
So I don't think that's a good a deferral. I don't see that as...
Well, we do have that motion on the table at this time. Do I have a second for the deferral? See, and I don't have a second for the motion.
This is more exciting than we know
I think that, this is my personal opinion, I think we should have a vote on denial or approval.
I will make the motion that we deny this application then, so we can have a vote if we can get a second on that.
You can simply call the vote without a second.
Okay.
It's preferred that you have a second.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion to deny, and we have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Chair votes nay.
Nay.
I don't know
so
if we've
fails.
Done anything.
Motion fails,
right?
Fails.
Exactly. Let's clarify the vote. I wouldn't count the right vote.
We had two ayes, two nays, and one
abstain.
Well, that's no action.
So can Mr. Zimmer re-propose his of approval?
I don't know.
What do you can we have a...
Well, if you want to second his motion, I guess.
Yeah, somebody has to second it.
Does anybody want to second Mr. Zimmer's original motion of approval?
Is it possible for me to change my vote on that last motion? Is that allowed, now that it's been tallied or whatever, to move this forward?
I think you could.
Okay. As long as they allow you as a group to do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Would,
I'm asking the chair, I guess, then. Is it okay for me to change my vote to aye?
Would the Planning Commission approve of Mr. Zimmer changing his vote at this time to aye?
I have no objections.
I have no objections.
Well, the motion failed, right? So.
Well, now it's going to fail.
Now you're going to put it back on the table, right?
No, I think we're going back and changing the vote.
It would be in the nature of reconsidering somebody.
So we got to vote again?
Yeah, I think if you made the motion again, consider that motion dead, make the motion again, and then take another vote.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
Yes, I would have moved that we deny this application.
Okay.
If you're not making any motion, you can make the motion to approve.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and I have a second. All in favor of the motion to deny, say aye.
Aye. Abstain.
Chair votes nay. So we have 3-1-1.
So the
that's the recommendation to deny.
If three to deny, one in favor.
Well, three in favor of the motion.
Right.
The chairman's opposed and Mr. Johnson abstains.
Yes.
Just make sure the record's clear on
that. The motion was to deny.
So the motion to deny is carried.
I don't think it would work.
Yes. Thank you. The next item on the agenda tonight is SUP 1704, the Light Academy.
Thank you, good evening.
Mr. Chairman, before you get into it, just one thing I noted. The numbers are the same on these last two applications. One is a rezoning, the other is a special use permit. They don't have any connection. It's pure coincidence that the same numbers.
Right. One of them is a ZMP and one of them is a SUP.
There's been more confusion about it.
This is a request to establish an educational facility with respect to 10 acres of tax map 39A48. Educational facility is a public or private institution for teaching of children or adults, and the parcel and the surrounding properties are all zoned A1 agricultural. Property is located near Kids Store. It's the former Cunningham School, located right here. As you can see from the aerial, all properties are zoned A1. The applicant needs a special use permit for an education use facility for kindergarten through 12th grade. The planned staff to student ratio is 1 to 10. That's not teachers to students, merely staff to students, and that's what the applicant is hoping to get. Condition 1 of the special use permit would regulate the hours from 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., and after school activities would be permitted until 11 p.m. Applicant hopes to use this as a space for community events, and it was used as a school from 1961 until 2013. Just the front of the property, and this is looking off to the side. And this is the basic sketch plan the applicant has provided. They don't propose any additions to the structure, no new parking or anything like that. There'd be a garden, some playgrounds, and ball pits for the children. And as listed in the staff report, to the east of the property, there is an emergency landing zone for helicopters, and the applicant has said that she'll keep that area devoid of structures and vegetation to, in case it ever has to be used. In conclusion, this is an SUP for an educational facility. It'll be located within the former Cunningham Elementary School, and the Board of Supervisors approved the sale to the Life Academy on September 20th of this year. They appear to meet the requirements of our zoning ordinance, and the applicant is here this evening.
This is the same Light Academy that operates a facility now, yes, near the Dogwood restaurant, yes, that we have approved in the past.
They're looking to expand.
And this was a school to start with, and basically they're putting another school in place where the county has sold this property.
Yes, it's in keeping with the established character of what was here for almost 50 years.
Yeah, my son went to school there, and my wife also.
It's good to see it be a school.
Sure.
Would the applicant like to come forward? Hi, how you doing?
So I also want to mention that we are also going to, as part of the educational facility, possibly offer a preschool in that area. There isn't anything in that part of the county. I don't know if that was...
I can add that to our staff.
Yeah, because when I was a director at another preschool, there isn't anything in Scottsville as far as preschool. There isn't anything in, I want to say, Arvonia-Buckingham to that end of the county or in that area of the county. So I want to just clarify that we have the space, get the licensure, and if we have at least seven to ten kids, then we may have a classroom of preschoolers. So
is that a different distinction than an educational facility having preschool? Does that change it? I don't know.
It's still
why
education.
That needed to be specifically stated. I did say it would be an elementary school, primary use of the high school.
For children, including primary and secondary.
Okay. So I facility. Guess preschool is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Okay. It'll be a similar facility.
It's educational.
Obviously, it's a very preschool for that building.
Yeah, yeah. I do.
It's just, I noticed it said kindergarten up there. I wanted to clarify we're going to do 3 and 4 year olds.
And are you K-12 or?
Right now we're K-10, but we plan to add 11th and 12th next year. We've just kind of tried to grow organically. Started out K-8, and then we added 9th and 10th grade 2 years ago. This is our second year of 9th and 10th grade. those students are moving up.
And what's your enrollment?
I currently have 50 students.
Mm-hmm. And how many teachers?
We have a lot of part-time people, so I don't know. We have 3 full-time teachers, 2 half-day teachers. I have probably 5 or 6 part-time teachers. One might come in and teach 3 days a week. Another one will come in and teach 2 afternoons a week. You know, it just depends. You know, arts once a week, music once a week, things like that.
I've only heard good things about them since they've been at the location they're at now. And I don't know of any complaints and so forth there. So, and I go that area at least once a week. So, basically, we're putting an educational facility in a formal educational facility. So, have any questions for the applicant? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Have any discussion by the Planning Commission? Sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself tonight. Is anyone from the public? We're opening a public hearing at this time. Please come forward and state your name and address. You will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we will end the public hearing at this time and have discussion by the Planning Commission.
I think this is excellent use of this facility, so much better than the use down what's happened to the Columbia School. So,
bringing the school back in the school, it's hard to argue with.
Yeah. A good place to teach maybe some community college classes at night and so forth. I think it has a lot of potential.
I agree.
Do we need to change the conditions to add the preschool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Says educational facility, and that's still educational. So, do I have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make one. I move to recommend approval of SUP 1704, a request to establish an educational facility with respect to 10 acres of tax map 39, section 8, parcel 48, subject to the 6 conditions listed in the staff report.
Okay, a motion from Mr. Johnson. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second, Mr. Lagosino. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, we do have one item on unfinished business as it relates to the zoning initiation for the text change for fees.
This is just in regards to the fees, not strategic zoning. It's getting rid of that $50.
This has to do with the fees we discussed during the work session.
Yes, sir. So rezoning would just be a flat $1,000.
Okay. Would anyone like to make a motion on the fee schedule that we discussed earlier in the work session?
Sure.
I move that the Savannah County Planning Commission direct staff to initiate a zoning text amendment to amend section 22.17.7 fees to amend the rezoning fee and to schedule a future public hearing for formal Planning Commission consideration and recommendation to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay, I have a motion by Ms. Costa-Lesta. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Mr. Johnson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Is any other new business? Okay. Right now will be the second of 2 public comment sections. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak anything about the county, please come forward. Come to the microphone, state your name and address, and you will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we will end the second public comment section. And if there's no objections, we will adjourn at 8:09. We are adjourned.
Just want to make one note to conflict with circuit court. We're going to be in the morgue for next month.
Okay. In that.